Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Tuesday, March 1, 3, 2018. That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here. On WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Hope you guys are having a great start to your week as we count down the days to the start of the most exciting sporting event in all of sports, in my opinion, that being the NCAA Men's College Basketball Tourney. I know many of you probably right now are at work, entering that work pool, filling out your bracket, hoping to score some moolah. I know how this time of the year goes, all right? I fill out at least 50 brackets. I kid you not, that is not an exaggeration, but it's not like I'm slaving over each and every bracket. Autofill, folks. Autofill. And I tell you what, last year, I filled out, I think it was like 65 brackets. And again, it was like three clicks to fill out 65 brackets. It took me like 5 minutes. I had, you know, I live and die with two brackets. I usually fill out one when I'm just, you know, calling a few upsets here and there. One where I'm really breaking down the favorite matchup. So, really, I'm married to two brackets. The others are just for play and for fun. But I will say, you know, heading into like week three of the NCAA tourney last year, I had four brackets still in play and only had about one or two losses. All right. And as you know, you know, a lot of the national, I believe it's ESPN, is the national medium that's, you know, if you get a perfect bracket, then you win something like $1 million or it could be like, I think even $1 billion, something like that. So, but no one ever has a perfect bracket. Good luck to you all out there. And on today's current sports, much like yesterday's show, we will have more talk centered on the Michigan State men's basketball team who earned a 3-seed bid in this year's tourney. Michigan State taking on Bucknell at Little Caesars Arena come Friday night at 7:10 p.m. And also 3-seed, the Michigan Wolverines taking on Montana on Thursday night at 9:50 p.m. out in Wichita, Kansas. We'll have more talk centered on the tourney runs of the Spartans and the Wolverines. Tom Izzo just wrapped up talking at the Breslin Center this afternoon addressing the media. You know, it's so funny because on Sunday, you know, Tom always does this where he talks to the media about the matchup. He doesn't really know anything about the matchup, seeing as though he just literally found out who he would be playing, who his team would be playing, you know, 30 minutes prior to the press conference, even less shorter time than that, to be honest with you all. So he had never seen any film on Bucknell this season, didn't know too much about Bucknell on Sunday, but now it's Tuesday. He has certainly done his homework. And I'll have a few takeaways from Tom Izzo's presser and one particular point to make, because I think that the tone has now shifted when it comes to the Spartans now. I'll explain what I mean by that in just a moment. So hang tight there, all right? So we'll have a few Tom Izzo press conference takeaways. Also, excited to have this man live here in studio with us around the 1:30 p.m. mark. He is the general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts. Mr. Tyler Parsons will join me live here in Studio West to talk about a new year for the Luggies. It's always an exciting time each and every spring and throughout the summer down at Cooley Law School Stadium watching the Lugnuts. Nothing like taking in a Lansing Lugnuts game downtown Lansing. And there are a lot of promotions that will be taking place throughout this season. Also, the Lugnuts And this is when I really got excited that we were having Tyler on. The Lugnuts actually have their own vodka now. Their own vodka. Are you kidding me? Tyler would join us here on Current Sports to talk about how that deal came about. And also, there's even a really cool promotion, which I'll get to in a matter of minutes here throughout our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. The Lugnuts are also going to honor the late Mike Sadler of the Michigan State football team in a very cool way. So Tyler will join me live in studio to talk all things Lansing Lugnuts. And on today's Current Sports, on the back end, we will talk about Mr. Tiger Woods, who, even though, you know, he finished second at the Valspar Championship, let's keep it real, folks, no one thought that Tiger Woods was going to make a return to golf the way that he has so far early on in this PGA Tour season. The mere fact that Tiger Woods was competitive throughout four rounds down in the Tampa Bay area at the Valspar Championship, it blew my mind. And dare we say it? Dare we say this? Tiger Woods back? I'll address that later on in the show. Again, we invite you to be a part of the fun, just like each and every weekday here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, where we have the live stream up and running. Comment below that video. I will do my best to get to a few of your comments throughout this hour. And also, even tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. And before we push forward, I see a comment here on our Facebook page. One of our dear listeners has a birthday that he is celebrating. A shout out to my man, Steven. Happy birthday, Steven. And with that, here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, the Michigan State women's basketball team season will continue in the WNIT. How about that? The postseason journey for the Spartans will begin this Thursday with a home date against Cincinnati at the Breslin Center. MSU will play at 7 p.m. The Spartans will be making their fifth appearance in the WNIT and first since 2008. Susie Merchant's debut season leading the program, actually. Now, MSU fell to Marquette in the championship game in 2008. Cincinnati is 19-12 and went 10-6 in the American Athletic Conference, finishing fourth behind Connecticut, South Florida, and Central Florida. MSU finished tied for ninth with Rutgers in the Big Ten in a season that has been impacted for sure by injuries. But nonetheless, Michigan State will at least be competing in some kind of postseason action. The WNIT bid for Susie Merchant's team. Again, 7 p.m. against Cincinnati at the Breslin Center on Thursday night. The Michigan women's basketball team's coach, Kim Barnes-Errico, made one thing clear on Monday night. She isn't pleased with last year's NCAA snub, but after waiting through much of Monday's NCAA tournament selection show and not hearing the Wolverines' name called, U of M got to exhale when it was given an at-large bid to the Field of 64. That's right, Michigan sitting at 22-9 on the year, which felt it should have been invited to last year's dance, but instead won the WNIT, is a number 7 seed in the Lexington region and faces number 10 seed Northern Colorado at 5 p.m. Friday out in Texas. Now, although the Wolverines are excited to make the field, surviving past the opening weekend will be tough. With a win over Northern Colorado, U of M will likely face 2-seed Baylor on its home court in Sunday's second round. But nonetheless, the fact that Michigan earned a bid to the Big Dance this year is still pretty admirable. Nonetheless, congratulations to Kim Barnes-Errico and company. Miles Bridges, Michigan State sophomore forward phenom, picked up another All-American honor yesterday. the Michigan State sophomore, was named to the second team by the United States Basketball Writers Association, his third national honor this season. Bridges leads the Spartans at 16.9 points per game, ranks second on the team with almost 7 boards per game, and is third with 2.8 assists per game. He is sixth in the Big Ten in scoring, 11th in rebounding, and third in free throw percentage at 88.3%. The 6'7" forward from Flint Town, who was named a unanimous All-Big Ten first-team selection, earned second-team All-American honors last week from USA Today and the Sporting News. Bridges also is one of 5 finalists for the Julius Erving Small Forward of the Year Award and one of 10 semifinalists for the Naismith Trophy. All right, the Lansing Lugnuts, get this, very cool stuff. We'll be holding Mike Sadler Night in partnership with the Michael Sadler Foundation. Now, according to a press release announcing the event, Mike Sadler Night will be held, mark your calendars, approximately 7:05 p.m. on May 3rd at Cooley Law School Stadium. The event is being held in honor of the late Mike Sadler, a former Michigan State University punter and 4-time academic All-American, who sadly passed away in July of 2016 in a car crash. Now, as a part of Mike Sadler Night, the first 1,000 attendees will receive a green Lugnuts jersey with Sadler's number 3 on the back. The event will also include a silent auction of Lugnuts and Spartans memorabilia, as well as an offering of Hey Diddle Diddle, the craft beer created to pay homage to Sadler. Very cool stuff. And again, keep it locked because we will have the general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts, Mr. Tyler Parsons, live here in Studio S to talk about that very cool event and just a very exciting upcoming Lansing Lugnuts season right here live on WKAR's Current Sports. All right, Monday high school boys basketball regional results. Class A at Battle Creek Lakeview. East Lansing over Kalamazoo Central, 70-37, not even close there. Arguably the best team in our area. I don't think it's arguable. I think this is the best team in the mid-Michigan area. The East Lansing Trojans, they keep on keeping on. And Okemos topped Coldwater 67-46 yesterday. On Wednesday, EL will take on Okemos for a 6 p.m. matchup. That's going to be a really fun game. We all know how the season has gone when it comes to East Lansing being matched up against Okemos. Jeff Wanch has had the Trojans' number this season. That's going to be an exciting game. All right, Class B at Fowlerville. Marshall over Parma Western, 58-50. Williamson over Ionia, 62-44. Willie and Marshall will hit the court Wednesday at 7 p.m. Class B at Goodrich. We saw Bridgeport beat Ovid Elsie 82-44. Flint Powers over Freeland 76-44. Bridgeport will take on Flint Powers Wednesday at 7 p.m. Class B at Gaylord. Standish Sterling 52. Alma 49. That game actually went to overtime. An extra session there. Boyne City over Ludington 55-44. So Standish Sterling versus Boyne City will take place 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Class C at Pawamo Westphalia. We saw Dansville actually beat Pawamo Westphalia by 1 point, 39-38. Grand Rapids Covenant over Hemlock 62-34. Dansville will play Grand Rapids Covenant at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. Class D at Deckerville. Flint International Academy over Kingston. That was a 65-62 final. Fulton over Bay City All Saints, 65-22. Fulton will take on Flint International Academy Wednesday at 6 p.m. And in Class D at Lansing Christian, Adrian Linaway Christian over Lansing Christian, 59-51. And Hillsdale Academy beat Plymouth Christian, 72-52. So Adrian Linaway Christian will take on Hillsdale Academy, 7 p.m. on Wednesday. All right, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, this former Michigan State quarterback great just got paid. I'm talking about Pro Bowl QB Kirk Cousins, who intends on signing a fully guaranteed 3-year contract with the Minnesota Vikings when free agency opens tomorrow, according to Mark Rosen of CBS Minnesota. The deal will pay Cousins an NFL record $28 million per season. Are you kidding me? My goodness, dollar bill, y'all. That's totaling out at $84 million over 3 years. Remarkable. The $28 million annually is just north of the $27.5 million that Jimmy Garoppolo received in his five-year deal with the San Francisco 49ers earlier on in this offseason. Now, it's also the first fully guaranteed multi-year deal for a quarterback in league history. That's how you make a deal, Kirk. You like that? I like that a lot. The 29-year-old Cousins played under the franchise tag with the Washington Redskins each of the past two seasons, earning a total of nearly $44 million during that span. His deal with the Vikings means Cousins will cash in to the tune of $128 million over the course of 5 years. And from that high, we go to a low to end our current sports quick hit headliners. The Wings have lost again. That's right. The Detroit Red Wings started well last night, kept the game close before falling 5-3 to the San Jose Sharks on Monday at SAP Center. Detroit will stay on the road to face the LA Kings on Thursday. Puck drop scheduled for 10 p.m. The Wings have now lost 7 straight. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing. Oh, that's some Cool in the Gang fresh to kick off this Tuesday afternoon for you. Happy Tuesday. It is March 13th, 2018. Man, that joint always just makes me want to get up and dance. I love that joint. Just wanted to start off with something light, something a little happy for you. For those who are having a rough start to the week, hang in there. Hang in there. We still got a long way to go. It's only Tuesday. Tom Izzo spoke this afternoon at the Breslin Center, holding a press conference to preview that matchup between Bucknell this Friday night at 7 p.m. That was an interesting presser, I must say. Interesting presser when it comes to one component for me. So it wasn't like the whole presser was like, oh. And, you know, very enlightening. You know, much of what we heard Tom say this afternoon was pretty much what we heard on Sunday, with the exception of him dissecting what he has seen on film from the Bucknell Bison as he is in the very early stages of his preparation and his team's preparation to take on Bucknell in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So, I'll get to that one point I want to make in just a moment, but, you know, you look at how this season has gone for Michigan State. And again, they're so hard to read. Because every team's important, right? Every fan base believes that their team is important. Every team is important. I truly believe that. But when it comes to hype, coverage, we all know that the two premier college basketball programs here in the state are Michigan State and Michigan. So what are the chances that Michigan State and Michigan can make a deep run in the NCAA tourney? That's the question on the minds of college basketball junkies here in this state. Now, Michigan State, in the Midwest part of the bracket, if they can get past Bucknell and then either TCU, Arizona State, or Syracuse, they will have a dance in the Sweet 16 against Tom Izzo's Kryptonite. Coach K in the Duke Blue Devils, a team that beat Michigan State by 7 points on November 14th at the Champions Classic out in the Shy. For Michigan, if they can get out of the first round against Montana and survive in round two against either Houston or San Diego State, a dance in the Sweet 16 can possibly happen between the Wolverines and the North Carolina Tar Heels. That's the same team that beat John Beilein's troops by 15 points, also back in November, late November, though, November 29th to be exact. Now, matchups and early season outcomes like that make it a bit alarming to pick the Spartans and Wolverines to make it out of the second week of play. But this is why they call it March Madness. Anything is possible, right? Anything is possible. It's still a line from the great Kevin Garnett. Now, I've noted multiple times here on our airwaves, especially last week, how much I love this Michigan Wolverines basketball team. And that may be sacrilegious to say, seeing as though I am a host right here on the campus of Michigan State University for WKAR, affiliated directly with Michigan State University. And Michigan State University is our direct area of coverage. I am an MSU alum. So me saying that, probably many of you Spartan fans just cringed. But this is again, I always keep it real here on Current Sports. I say that 1,000 times a day, I feel like. So I'm not going to be one of those hosts and one of those guys who cover a certain team, who cover a certain beat, who is goo-goo gaga over that respective team that I cover. I am a journalist, and I stay non-biased. This Michigan men's basketball team is extremely well-coached by John Beilein, who allows this team to let it fly from deep while implementing an offense that has fluidity, charged by spacing and ball movement. Weapons everywhere you look. Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, the senior leader and guard who can score in multiple ways. Mo Wagner, the cocky kid from Berlin, Germany, who is a nightmare forward that can string it from deep. Or take it inside and abuse you. Very polished inside game from Mo Wagner as well. Xavier Simpson, who commands the offense as the starting guard and has a first step that can really leave you in the wind. I could go on and on and on here. Duncan Robinson, Charles Matthews, John Teske, for goodness sake. Who saw John Teske having the type of game that he had against the Purdue Boilermakers in the Big Ten Tournament Championship game out in NYC? I mean, he comes in and held down the fort. It was amazing what John Teske was able to do. This Wolverines team is not the same team that we saw back in late November in that loss against North Carolina. No one wants to see the Wolverines. Now, however, when it comes to Michigan State, this is a team that I'm a bit puzzled about. All right, the talent is there. We all know that. This team is very deep and has talent in multiple areas, but they are very young. And sometimes we see that youth lead to Michigan State struggling on the hardwood. But the reason, you know, you look at the talent on this team. The talent is there. That's a big reason why the National Cats, like Jay Williams, Seth Greenberg, Dick Vitale, Mr. Dickie V, and Jay Billis, all have Michigan State at least getting to the Final Four. That was amazing to watch that. I don't know if you guys saw that on ESPN, but Jay Williams, you know, Greenberg, Dickie V, and Billis all chose Michigan State to get to the Final Four. Now, again, I think that's a bit skewed because, you know, it's a mixed reaction with me. You know, the national guys aren't sitting there glued to their televisions dissecting each and every Michigan State game. They're not sitting there. You think they're sitting there watching, you know, from the time of tip-off to the ending buzzer, Michigan State versus Indiana or Michigan State versus Iowa? No, they're not. I mean, they're just looking at Michigan State and saying, all right, that's the record, very impressive record, best start in program history, talent everywhere, first-round draft picks, heck, first-round lottery draft picks in Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges. They have found multiple ways to win. Yeah, that's a Final Four team. And Vitale, Greenberg, and Billis, actually, have Michigan State going all the way and winning the entire enchilada. As for Michigan, if you're wondering, the four ESPN analysts had Michigan making the Elite Eight, also a deep run. And Billis had U of M reaching the Final Four. So Jay Billis actually had Michigan State and Michigan getting to the Final Four. But Duke makes me pause. Duke makes me pause, and the inconsistent play is what makes me pause with Michigan State. Jaren Jackson Jr., who is normally a walking double-double. You know, he finished with 13.7 rebounds, 4 offensive boards, though. That was a positive for Jaren Jackson Jr. But he was held in check by the Wolverines defense in that Big Ten semifinal game due to double teams deep in the post. Whenever Jackson would get the ball down low, when it was kicked out, MSU guards didn't make plays. And Jaren Jackson Jr. continues to play with fire. Those 4 personal fouls in that semifinal game. Can Jaren Jackson Jr. stay on the court early, consistently throughout the big dance? Josh Langford, he is on a milk carton right now. He has gone missing because we haven't seen a consistent stretch of basketball from him dating back to late January against Maryland, which began a stretch of 4 straight double-digit performances. Since February 10th against Purdue, Langford has had just 1 double-digit game in the last 7 tip-offs. That being on February 20th, 16 points against Illinois. Against Michigan on January 13th, in that loss, he had 8 points in that 10-point loss at the Breslin. And in that semifinal loss against Michigan out in NYC, Langford had just 2 points on 1-of-8 shooting. This is why I pause with Michigan State. Nick Ward, also waiting on him. Just 1 double-digit performance from him in the last 4 games. And he still struggles with finding the open man when double teams come down low. That's evident by just a 0.5 assist per game ratio. That's what he's averaging. Not even 1 assist per game. And Cassius Winston, again, this team is going to go as deep in the tourney as Cassius Winston takes them. He is the foundation of this team. When he plays well, the Spartans play well. And Xavier Simpson had his number in those 2 losses against Michigan. Tom Izzo noted today, and you could hear it in the tone of his voice, that this is a Bucknell team that is dangerous. This is not, I think this is going to be a close game. Vegas has Michigan State right now listed as a 14-point favorite. I could see this game going down to the wire. I really could. Bucknell, a team who plays in the Patriot League. 3 names that I listed on yesterday's Current Sports. 3 names that you might want to get to know before tip time on Friday night. The first name, Mr. Zach Thomas. He is a stretch forward, senior stretch forward, who won the Patriot League Player of the Year award. He's averaging a little over 20 points per game and almost 10 rebounds per game. 20-9 is what he is averaging, and he can give he'll be matched up against Jaren Jackson Jr. That's what Tom Izzo noted at his press conference this morning. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Zach Thomas. That is going to be a very interesting matchup to watch. Bucknell, a team who loves to push the ball, and when it comes to their fast break offense, they love to trail Zach Thomas on that break and then possibly kick it out to him for a three-pointer. So Jaren Jackson Jr., in many regards, is going to be matched up against a player who in many ways is similar to him. A stretch forward who can hit the three, who can take it inside, outside. Polished player, conference player of the year in the Patriot League. Also, Na'Na Fowland. I love that name. Na'Na. Na'Na Fowland is a senior forward. Well, excuse me, senior center for Bucknell, who is averaging about 15-7. He's got a nice jump hook. And then, you know, I just talked about Cassius Winston, who has been matched up, of course, against Xavier Simpson. And Xavier Simpson, a dynamic guard who can score, who can facilitate, a very balanced guard in Xavier Simpson. Cassius Winston has had trouble with Xavier Simpson this season. Well, he's going to be matched up against another guard who has a very balanced game. A player by the name of Stephen Brown is the starting senior guard for Bucknell. If you notice, I just named three seniors here. This is a very experienced Bucknell team. Three seniors here. But Stephen Brown is going to be matched up against Cassius Winston. Stephen Brown is averaging 14 points, almost 5 assists per game. Balanced attack from Stephen Brown, and he knows how to run the offense. I've been watching film now for the past 2 days when it comes to Bucknell. This is a dangerous team. And you can't help but think about Middle Tennessee State, who I thought should have made the NCAA tourney this year. But you can't help but think about Middle Tennessee State, what happened a few years back now, right? Spartan fans, I know you've tried to put that in the very back of your mind, put it in the rearview mirror, keep it moving. But, you know, can Tom Izzo use that experience to motivate his team and get them to understand that every game matters and every game is fragile and anything could happen on any given day when it comes to the NCAA tournament? Tom noted that he really can't pull from that because pretty much everybody on the roster did not experience that loss to Middle Tennessee State University. So he can't pull from that experience and say, hey, you remember that feeling? Remember that feeling when that happened? Let's not let that happen against Bucknell. Interesting matchup coming for Michigan State this weekend. Don't expect it to be a walk in the park. That's all I'm saying on Friday night. Will they win? Of course, I'm choosing Michigan State to win this game, but it is not going to be easy. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hit our first break right now. When we come back, we will chat with the general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts, Tyler Parsons, who is going to talk about a pretty exciting year. Every year is exciting, though, when talking about the Lansing Lugnuts, right? But some very cool stuff coming your way, Lugnuts fans. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A discussing the big dance. Michigan State, Michigan in the big dance, of course. Michigan State getting ready for the matchup against Bucknell on Friday night at 7:10 p.m. And real briefly, Ian is packing up behind the glass. Current Sports Engineer Ian Hawley. Ian, you've been listening that first segment. Before you head out of here, I'm putting you on the spot. You knew this was coming, dude. This matchup between the Bison and the Spartans, just how concerned are you when it comes to this matchup? Because I don't know if you've looked this team up. I've been watching film the last 2 days. This is a dangerous team in many, many areas. Michigan State has to come correct, get back on defense. This is a team that loves to push the ball. In a lot of ways, they remind me of the Wolverines. I will say that.
They remind me a little bit of the Spartans, too. I mean, they're scoring 81 points a game, just like Michigan State. Their assist-to-turnover ratio is a little bit worse than Michigan State's, but not by much. And their three-point shooting has been phenomenal this season, much like Michigan State. So I think it'll be up to Michigan State's guards, especially Cassius Winston and Josh Langford, to play some lockdown defense and try and limit the three-point opportunities for this Bucknell team.
Real quick, what do you think the problem has been when it comes to Josh Langford as of late?
I think he's been getting in a little bit in his own head. I mean, he'll take a couple good shots at the beginning, and then if he misses, he'll just kind of check out for a little while on offense and not really try and be as productive as he sometimes was at the beginning of the season.
It's all about how he starts, right?
Yes.
The way Josh starts is the way he's going to play throughout the entire game.
At least from what I've seen. I think he just needs to get a little bit more confidence in himself maybe and keep taking those shots when they're not falling. And I think eventually it'll work out well for him.
All right, Ian, get to class.
Yes, sir.
Ian always
trying to be on time.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't know that. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, he has class on Tuesday, so the fantastic Amanda behind the glass fills in to close out the show. Thank you so much, Amanda. All right, well, let's transition now into segment B. And if you're listening and watching us via Facebook Live at facebook.com/currentsports, you probably see his face right now. He is the general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts. And he came in bearing some gifts as well. His name is Tyler Parsons. And the Lugnuts, I believe, Tyler, tickets, single season tickets, just went on sale yesterday, right?
Yeah, yesterday at 10 a.m. So all of our individual games are now live, and people can pick and choose the best games on the promotional schedule.
That is great stuff. So single game tickets just went on sale yesterday. And I also want to note, for those who have been listening throughout the show, I noted in our quick hit headliners that you guys have so many cool things coming up. And one of the things that I really thought was very cool is this story about you guys partnering up with the Michael Sadler Foundation. Mm-hmm. And that, again, mark it on your calendars, listeners out there, 7:05 p.m. May 3rd at Cooley Law School Stadium. The event is going to be held in honor of Mike Sadler, former Michigan State football punter and four-time academic All-American who, of course, sadly passed away in July of 2016 in a car crash. Tyler, how did that come about? How did that partnership come about? How did the idea even spark?
Yeah, well, really, I got here. This is my first year here with the Lugnuts and got here in November. And really, all the credit for this idea goes to our director of fan engagement, Michaela Higgins. She kind of had this idea before I even got there of, you know, partnering with the Mike Sadler Foundation and doing something special on this night. And you know, we started brainstorming some ideas and find out how can we make this a little bit more unique and creative. And we looked at the jersey idea. You know, how can we kind of co-brand the Lugnuts and the Spartans? Because, you know, one thing we found from listening to the Sadler Foundation is that, you know, Mike had a chance to come to quite a few Lugnuts games and was kind of a big fan of ours. So kind of combining those two brands, doing that replica jersey giveaway, and then and really combining some, you know, some fundraising elements for that game to raise money for that great foundation and really pay homage to a great person like Mike Sadler.
Definitely. So this is the brainchild of Michaela Higgins then, right?
It is, yes. Yeah. So she can take full credit for this one. So she did an amazing job kind of putting together the plan and working with the Sadler Foundation. And we just released it today and the jersey concept, and we're really excited about this one.
That is great stuff. And Mick does a great job with the Lugnuts and your
she
organization,
does.
Tyler. And we actually hope to get Mick on the show as we get closer to the start of the year for the Lugnuts. And Tyler, this is your first year. First off, welcome to Lansing, right?
Thank you. Yes.
This is your first time here on Current Sports, of course. Can you kind of tell us about your background? How did you end up in this position as the general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts?
Oh, boy. Well, Central Michigan guy, went to school there and then worked in the athletic department there at CMU for about a year and a half and said, you know what? Wanted to branch off and got involved in minor league baseball. And my first ever job in baseball was with a team down in Forest City, North Carolina. It was a summer collegiate team. My title, I kid you not, was director of fun.
Are you serious? That was an official title.
Yeah, I was applying for jobs and I saw director of fun. That sounds great. Like that's right up my alley.
Sounds
right?
Like the best job ever. That's what it sounds like.
So I got there, got involved with that job in a fun little community in a cool stadium there, and really fell in love with minor league baseball and really that whole element where you can you can combine sports, but with a wacky and crazy atmosphere. And minor league baseball really is that perfect combination of sports and entertainment, because the sports are going on, but the wins and losses don't matter near as much, and you always have constant change with the rosters. Then you have the entertainment portion, where you can, for the most part, you can try anything in minor league baseball. I mean, yeah, I say that loosely. There's some things you should not try, and some people have crossed that line a little bit. But for the most part, you can try anything. And went from there, ran a team in Martinsville, Virginia, was a GM there, and then got hired down in Johnson City, Tennessee. Was the general manager for St. Louis Cardinals for like the last 4 years, and got to know Nick Greaser really well over there with the Lugnuts. And I'm originally from Dansville, Michigan, right outside Lansing.
I'm a mid-Michigan kid,
so I tell everyone I moved here in November, I knew exactly what I was getting myself into with this weather. But made that connection with Nick, and he kind of asked me if I was interested in coming back and kind of getting involved with the Lugnuts. And, being completely honest, Al, at first, I had no interest. I did not want to come back to Mid-Michigan, did not want to come back to the Lansing or the 517 area.
And why is that?
I just wanted to branch off and get involved, and just, I had the stigma of what I remember Lansing. Mm-hmm. And he goes, come back and visit. Came back and visited, was absolutely blown away by how much Lansing has changed in East Lansing, and just as a whole area has changed since I was last here.
And how long are we talking? So you
7 years.
7 years.
7 years.
So you came back, and I'm pretty sure you looked at Cooley Law School Stadium as well and said,
absolutely.
What?
Yeah, Cooley Law School Stadium. That was my first ever minor league game as a kid, but going to that stadium. But, that area around that stadium has changed exponentially since I first went to a game there. And it's a testament to Lansing, to East Lansing, to everyone around there, that kind of development that's been growing around that Lansing, to draw back a quote-unquote millennial like myself to Lansing, because I felt like I had not only the professional development aspect, but I could also have that quality of life aspect that I was looking for. So couldn't be more excited and look forward to the future of not only the Lugnuts, but how Lansing keeps growing and evolving as well.
Certainly. So when you came back and saw the area, downtown Lansing, mm-hmm. and the surrounding areas around Cooley Law School Stadium, that's what really sold you then on coming back, huh?
It is, because I think when you're involved with a minor league team, it's bigger than just your stadium or your team. It's got to be about the community, and you got to really have to buy and sell not only your team, but you got to sell that community to people. Mm-hmm. You're drawing people there for your baseball games, but what else can they do before and after your games that's going to keep them going? So that part was really huge, and I tell people, I live right in downtown Lansing. I walk the walk and talk the talk a little bit. I have probably the only downtown Lansing apartment loft that has a Lugnuts flag hanging in it, so if you see that, you know exactly where I live right now.
Love that, right? Yeah, people are going to start showing up to your apartment now. Hold on, Tyler.
So
free tickets.
It's exciting. Yeah, the free tickets. We'll work something out, I guess. So if they shoot some photos of the flag, maybe we're talking. So.
Maybe. See that? Yeah. Hey, get on it, folks. All right. Now, don't stalk Tyler. We don't want that happening. All right. Stay in check, listeners. All right. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting it up with Mr. Tyler Parsons, general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts. And really quick, just to piggyback off what you just stated when it comes to the director of fun.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what did that title entail? what kind of cool events did you do while down there?
Oh, man, you're putting me in the time machine here a little bit. So the director of fun, really I handled all of the on-field promotions, and then also handled our ticket sales operations and the box office operations as well. So it was a combination of the in-game entertainment and also the box office and ticket sales aspect. So still a revenue generating position, but also had some of the fun elements of being able to do the on-field promotions and then setting the promotional calendar and all that stuff. So really anything. We actually a crazy story with that one to really illustrate the director of fun.
Right.
This was a team that had moved from Spartanburg, South Carolina, and they were the Spartanburg Stinger. So we found this old giant bumblebee costume and mascot, and we set it up inside the stadium one day to have some police officers come down, and basically I dressed up as this bumblebee and ran out in the field in the middle of the game, and the police came down there and tackled me and like the fake taser and all this stuff.
Really?
And we only told like 3 people in the stadium this was happening too. So all this went down, and what I did not know was in this bumblebee costume, you don't have very good peripherals. So when this guy tackled me,
you didn't see it coming.
This is like a blindside, on the quarterback coming off the edge here.
Right.
The next snap, which is a lot funnier when it's a bumblebee costume than in that quarterback, I think.
Right.
But they took me down, knocked the wind out of me, and carried me out. But had some fun publicity with that. That's just, again, the things you can do in minor league baseball. So.
You can try so many different areas, right? So you're back here in Lansing again, mm-hmm. as the GM of the Lansing Lugnuts. And you know what, Tyler, and I really you know, wanted to have you on as well to talk about, you know, because I was on my email like I am like all the dang time. We're like glued to technology, right?
So we are.
Last week, I go back to my office and I'm checking my email, and then all of a sudden I see this promotion, you know, announcing, or I should say this media release announcing mm-hmm. that the Lansing Lugnuts now have their own vodka.
That's
and I
true.
Said, what? I had to do a double take. Like, hold on, what? Are you kidding me? I definitely have to go to a few games this season now. How did that partnership come about there?
Yeah, so rewinding a little bit, when I was down in Johnson City, we were one of the first teams to collaborate and make our own beer.
Okay.
With a local brewery down there called Johnson City Brewing, made a beer down there called Cardinal Park Red Ale. And you really got a chance to see how that co-branding, that symbiotic relationship with that brewery just kind of grew. And it came from like a kind of a community beer that was available in the brewery to all of a sudden this thing was getting sold at stores. Mm-hmm. You know, it became a special release party and all that kind of stuff, and really was drawing attention for both of our brands. Got here to Lansing. We already have our own beer. We have a beer through Lansing Brewing Co. called it's Lugnuts Pale Ale.
Right.
But I noticed that you're kind of seeing a trend right now, a little bit of a bubble of, you know, spirits and distilleries, and really even in downtown Lansing right now as well. We have two distilleries within a baseball toss of our stadium. So we already had a great relationship with Rick Weibel and his crew over there at American Fifth, and you know, just was batting around the idea like let's make our own vodka, and went over there and actually make our own spirit. At the time, we weren't really sure what we were going to go with. So sat down with Rick and his crew over there, and then they were all in on it. And, you know, we're literally so close. I mean, we literally are across the street from them. So it made a lot of sense, not only from, you know, logistically, but also from a brand standpoint. And we started batting around some ideas, and then really he recommended vodka just based on the consumption numbers that he had. And we said, yeah, let's do this. You know, let's find out a way to utilize it. And, you know, first of all, let's make sure it's legal. Like, you know,
let's make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's and make sure that's all good, right?
You know, I always tell our staff, we want to push the line and you know, but we don't want to get sued. Unless it creates some good publicity, then maybe. But
don't want those problems, right?
Exactly. So I just kind of had some future discussions, and we started, you know, how can we combine our logo into this brand? And, you know, our graphic designer and production manager, Ryan Lefevre, really put together this logo and kind of combined our primary logo with this vodka concept. And we thought we had some magic here and went to the labeling process, and sure enough, it's happening. So
amazing.
We're going to sell it inside the stadium at any place you can buy a cocktail or a mixed drink. We'll have some specialty drinks and that kind of stuff. And then you'll be able to buy full bottles over at American Fifth. And we're still exploring the option of potentially doing that inside the stadium. There's some legal laws we're trying to figure out right now and see if it's worth it. But yeah, it just kind of grew from there, and we're gonna see where it goes. So we're going to start off in that process and maybe eventually grow and sell it in stores and retail and see where it goes.
Amazing. Now, I have to ask, Tyler, when it comes to making your own vodka, I mean, as far as taste goes and all that kind of stuff, the details.
Of
putting together the taste of the vodka. What went into that, and how is that process?
So, honestly, leaned heavily on Rick and his guys for that
Certainly.
One. So we kind of gave
them. Because they're the experts, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, like, I'm not going to show up and be like, hey, this is what I want our vodka to taste like. Like, right. This guy does it for a living. So, you know, they kind of took some of our concepts. We thought about doing something more flavored. We said, you know what, let's stick with the branding here. Let's just go with a generic kind of, you know, tasteless, I don't want to say tasteless vodka, but
just
a regular vodka, like a non-flavored vodka. And, you know, one difference with this is it is made from corn, so it is gluten-free, which is a little bit different than some vodkas out there. So, so yeah, and then Rick has his recipes and all that kind of stuff, and I am sure not going to share his recipes and all that kind of thing.
I don't want to do that, right?
His trade secrets, but it is very good vodka. I have sampled it, so
that's good stuff. Oh, but I can't wait to sample it when I go over there to check out a game one day. And oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We'll definitely take care of you with that one. So yeah, we gotta make sure we have some more people to sample and give us some reviews. So
certainly, Tyler. So all right, before we get you out of here. I love, you know, just going to a minor league game down at Cooley Law School Stadium. I mean,
if
you have nothing to do, man, I mean, especially on a weekend as well, when you're there, it's nothing like when the weather's nice, going down to Cooley Law School Stadium, sitting outside, enjoying a game, nothing like that atmosphere. So when it comes to anything different you guys are doing this upcoming season, maybe a few promotions that are a bit different in comparison to years past, what are some cool things that our listeners can look forward to down at Cooley?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, one great asset we have here with the Lugnuts is we really have something for everybody. You know, every Monday for us is dog days of summer. You know, bring your dog to the ballpark. You know, every Tuesday is dollar day for us. So it's $2 popcorn, $1 popcorn, $1 fountain drinks, I mean, $1 hot dogs. Winning Wednesdays, if the Lugnuts win, you get a free ticket for another game. Thirsty Thursdays. We got $2 beer, $2 wine, half off crafts, and then we have amazing Laugh Cue fireworks shows on Friday and Saturdays throughout the year.
Love those.
We have our most action-packed giveaway schedule of all time. We have 13 giveaways this year. We have 2 bobbleheads, 5 replica jerseys. We're doing a tri-wizard cup. We're doing a replica batting helmet. We're doing a beer stein. We're doing a bro tank. So
What is a bro tank?
It's just a tank top, but we got a cool name for it.
Oh, a bro tank. Yeah, come on. I knew that. I wear bro tanks all the time to work out.
It's cold out, Al. Come on. You're not used to the bro tank season yet.
That's true. That is very true. Because it's this weather. Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started. But 13, though?
13 giveaways. Wow. So that's the most in Lugnuts history. So, and including, obviously, the, you know, we talked about before, and the Mike Sadler Michigan State themed jersey as well. So,
right.
A lot of really cool stuff. And then, you know, we're going to constantly pack in fun promotions there at the ballpark and really create that awesome energy and that great atmosphere there at Cooley Law School Stadium to keep things going. And
Love it.
We can't wait. April 7th is the home opener. And speaking of weather, we're keeping our fingers crossed on that one, too.
Yes,
so.
This snow and this 20-degree mess has to go, please. We're ready for baseball, Tyler,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So.
Oh, man. And you know what? I also saw that you guys have some really cool nights going on, like Star Wars night. You guys have had that before.
Yep.
But 2 that I'm really and particularly excited about that, you know, I'm a big fan of both of these shows, and who isn't? Game of Thrones
Game
night
of Thrones.
And Stranger Things night, right? Whoa. I'm curious to see what our listeners out there and those who are just fans of the Lugnuts come dressed as when it comes to characters of those shows. But that's also
that
a very
fun.
Cool promotion, right?
It is. And really with the Game of Thrones one, it's super unique for us too. So there's a former Lugnut pitcher, Noah Syndergaard, now at the New York Mets.
Yeah.
He was an extra in Game of Thrones.
What? Are you kidding me?
He was. So
how did that come about?
I have no idea how the details happened, but our bobblehead that night is a Noah Syndergaard spear throwing bobblehead. It's him from Game of Thrones throwing a spear. So there's a really, really cool connection to that. And then, you know, who doesn't like Stranger Things, right? I mean, what a cool show and just kind of a fun concept. And,
you're right.
You know, you travel back to a little bit of nostalgia a little bit in the 80s and 90s there. So, you know, we're looking forward to theming that entire night and having some fun with that one as well.
Oh, boy. Well, I tell you what, Tyler, keep us posted throughout the season. Our listeners out there, if they're interested in purchasing single game tickets right now, Tyler, how can they do so?
So you can stop by our location right there, 505 East Michigan Avenue. You can give us a call, 517-485-4500, or go right to LantineLugnuts.com and order it on your phone, and you can pull it up digitally. You don't even need to print off a ticket. You show up at the stadium, scan it right off your phone, walk right on in.
How about that? My man Tyler Parsons, general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts. Tyler, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Al.
You got it, man. We got to have you back on.
Absolutely.
All right, Amanda, let's hit our final break, a brief 30-second break here, and we'll come back and put a bow on today's current sports. All right, well, we have about 4 minutes left in the hour right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. We just finished up a chat with Tyler Parsons, general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts. So many cool things coming for you Lansing Lugnuts fans this upcoming season. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour during our headliners, I'm really excited about the Mike Sadler night. I'm sure that is going to be a fun but also emotional night as the Lansing Lugnuts have partnered with the Michael Sadler Foundation to set up an event on May 3rd at Cooley Law School Stadium at 7:05 p.m. And the first 1,000 attendees will receive a green Lugnuts jersey with Sadler's number 3 on the back. But as you just heard from Tyler, there will be 13 giveaways throughout the season. Again, you got Stranger Things night. You got Game of Thrones night coming, Star Wars Day. It's always a fun time at Cooley Law School Stadium. And I really hope that chat really got you guys in the mood for some warm weather and baseball down at Cooley Law School Stadium. All right. Well, just to close the show, I wanted to give mad props to Mr. Tiger Eldrick Woods, because what this dude put together down in Florida, in the Tampa Bay, Florida area at the Valspar Championship had me glued to my television. And, you know, I have been very hesitant throughout, you know, these past few years dating back to 2013, which is the last time that Tiger Woods actually won a tournament, period. I don't think he won a major that year, but that's the last time we saw Tiger hoist up any kind of championship trophy throughout four rounds of a tournament. So I have been very hesitant, like many of you all, these past few years to say that Tiger Woods is back. But I think it's safe to say now, when looking at how he has played in these last few tournaments, Mr. Tiger Woods is back. It's amazing that this dude had four surgeries on his knee. Four surgeries on his back, which included that spinal fusion surgery, which took some time for him to get adjusted to on the golf course. Nobody, there are many people even doubting if he would even play golf again. That's how bad his back was. But he has somehow, some way, figured out how to swing with this surgery. And it's got a lot of folks, including myself, turning their head and saying, this dude looks really, really good. His short game was fantastic. His putting, I mean, he had a 44-foot putt on the 17th to make things interesting going into the 18th hole. Came up just a bit short, second place at the Valspar, but the mere fact that Tiger Woods was just competitive is something to shout about, folks. And right now, Tiger is actually the favorite. Haven't said that in I don't know how long. He is the favorite heading into the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Warms my heart that we're seeing the Tiger effect back on the game of golf. Over 150,000 folks came out down in Tampa Bay to check out Tiger throughout those four rounds. I'm excited to see what he does throughout the season, folks. All right, well, that puts a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Much thanks to Tyler Parsons for coming on. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Wednesday. Be easy, people.